Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Nerd Overload, your favorite pop and geek culture show that's missing out on some prime Stardew Valley time to be here, so...
Oh, I gotta water my crops!
Yeah. I'm not at the bottom of the mine yet, and
I gotta get there. Yeah, well, I'm Sam.
I'm Cody. And can I interest you in any of these fine cauliflowers?
All right, so we have a fantastic show for you this week. We're going to be talking about a bunch of stuff, a bunch of movie trailers. We're going to be talking about some stuff going on with Kotaku. We've been talking about some stuff having to deal with AI stuff. I don't know. We'll get into all...
Maybe Beetlejuice will show up.
Okay, we can only say his name two more times.
Or he will, yeah.
Or he will appear. And nobody wants that. Nobody wants a bad Beetlejuice impression to appear.
Oh, see, now you used another one.
Oh, there's another one. Okay, yeah. But first, let's get into some things we have been checking out.
Check it out!
All right, so you know what? I'm going to take the bull by the horns. I'm taking the reins. Here we go. So there is a popular brand new show.
I was gonna say one of us has to, otherwise it's dead air.
It's dead air for an hour, which, depending on the week, might be the better choice.
No.
No, it's a great show.
Everyone loves it.
Everybody loves it. Everybody who listens loves it. No. So there's a new show on Disney Plus. You might be aware. Brand new. It's a cartoon. Very big, you know, fan of it and everything. Just came out. So what I'm going to talk to you today about is Homeboys in Outer Space.
Oh. Because I did watch the one that you were leading me to believe.
Yes, yes.
And
no.
I was excited that maybe we were going to be able to
talk about the
it.
Same thing. No. Why would I watch a good thing that people love when instead I can watch an old UPN sitcom from the late 90s called Homeboys in Outer Space?
I've never heard of this.
No one has. Yeah. No one has. And yet they had 21 episodes.
That's a lot.
And I watched the first couple episodes and... I mean, it is about what you'd expect from a show called Homeboys in Outer Space. It is definitely of the ilk of, like, you remember Malcolm and Eddie, Malcolm Jamal Warner from The Cosby Show, and Eddie Griffin had a sitcom.
No.
It is what I would say urban comedy, I guess, would be putting it lightly, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably how they would have advertised
it. That's how they would have advertised it. Yeah. So this is a equal parts Star Wars, Star Trek, a two-camera sitcom. It feels like a sketch from Kenan and Kel.
That's not great praise.
It's not. It's two hapless losers who fly around in space. They call themselves soldiers of fortune, but they do meaningless tasks. They go collect things for people for money, and they fly around space in what they call the space hoopty.
I was wondering if that was the terminology they were going to use.
It is, in fact, called the space hoopty, and when it flies through space, it's very primitive CGI for all the space shots. All the sets look like 60s Star Trek on planet shots, like a lot of Ayers Rock, or like sets to look like Ayers Rock. When they fly through space, it is. So remember in Spaceballs where they had the Winnebago that was just a Winnebago with wings?
Yeah.
So this is a lowrider with wings that bounces as it flies through space.
Seems a little on the nose,
on the nose would be the term for the show. If there is a low hanging fruit for a joke, they're going to take it. Some of the highlights, and I put highlights in quotes here, they have an onboard computer, and this does, sadly, it feels a little more Star Warsy now that the Solo, a Star Wars movie, is out, because their onboard ship's computer is a sassy lady named LaQuisha, who has a personality that is almost exactly the droid from Solo, a Star Wars movie, whose AI was uploaded to the Millennium Falcon.
I still have never seen Solo.
Okay, you're not missing out on much, but so in Solo, there is a droid who is a sassy droid who is in love with Lando and hates Han Solo. In Homeboys in Outer Space, there is their on-screen computer that is just a CRT monitor with someone talking, like Max Headroom style.
Nice.
Who is in love with one of the pilots.
The titular homeboys.
Loves one of the homeboys, hates the other homeboy. Voice actor Kevin Michael Richardson has a rare on-screen appearance as essentially a Klingon, who is also one of the homeboys' brothers-in-law. And, of course, they don't get along. You know that they don't.
Because it is a sitcom at heart.
It is this is a sitcom. This is the one of the most sitcom-y sitcoms I've seen. One of the few white actors in the show is stunt cast, of course. He is the mechanic who used to work for a big federation, but is now down on his luck. His name is Pippin, and he's played by James Doohan.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Also, his name's Pippin because on Star Trek, his name was Scotty.
Scotty Pippin. Okay.
So there are jokes.
That's pretty good.
There are jokes.
You really have to
You have to take a walk. But once you get there, I would be lying if I said that I didn't crack a smile once or twice while watching it. It is not laugh out loud funny. I don't recommend people watching it. It's not good, but
it's an interesting curiosity.
It absolutely is. And it almost feels like the creators were like, we have some money that we want to blow. Let's just put on a show. It actually feels like what people thought the Orville was going to be.
Huh.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't have the Family Guy cutaways or what have you, but when you go, okay, Seth MacFarlane's making a comedy Star Trek show, what's it going to look like? Well,
yeah, Captain Fat Farts.
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Those kind of jokes. That's what this is.
Man, the Orville is so good.
Orville's so good.
So good.
I wish they made more of it. I wish it kept going. But no. But the stuff he's been doing with the 10 shows has actually been pretty good.
You can thank Disney for that one.
Well, yeah. But no, Homeboys in Outer Space.
I mean, since you teased X-Men 97,
let's talk
about it a little bit. I've fully digested both episodes that they released, and they are great. They're amazing.
I've been really wanting to check them out. See, my problem is a lot of my media consumption time is done during downtimes at work, and I have found that if I want to actually pay attention and enjoy things, I can't do it while I'm at work. I've tried a couple things and I have to watch trash while I'm at work.
This is absolutely worth the 40 minutes or whatever it takes to watch both these.
Good.
It stays true to the feeling of the original show while also elevating it a little bit. So it's not as dumb.
Okay. Well, it needed to. It's pretty dumb.
The original show is pretty dumb.
It's pretty dumb, but it also followed a lot of comic storylines pretty close to it, I thought. But no, that's good. That's good. I've seen people get upset about Gambit's cut off midriff shirt.
Yeah,
his crop top.
His crop top, which is ridiculous.
It's the 90s. That's 100% Gambit.
One, it takes place in the 90s. Two, it's Gambit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, all the characters are true to how you would expect them from the original show.
Good.
I mean, the voice acting is a little different, but also everyone from the original show is either a lot older than they were there then and out of the game for a while, mm-hmm. or they had to recast.
Yeah.
But none of it is.
It's not jarring. It's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And the writing is really, really good. The X-Men are flying around punching bigots in the face and yelling about tolerance should be.
That's the X-Men. Yeah, that's exactly it. Well, good. I'm glad it's good. I've seen shots of Magneto's updated costume.
He looks cool.
He looks really cool. Yeah, he had that look in the comics for a short while. I think back in the late 90s.
Professor X is bald and Magneto has glorious old man white hair.
Oh, yeah.
White hair.
That's the way it goes. Yeah. Of course. Have they added to the cast any? Have they brought in any, like, surprise, like, characters that...
I mean, they brought some characters that were side characters originally as part of the main cast and, like, added them to the theme. Like,
well, like
Bishop,
right.
And Morph.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. And they changed Morph to look more like his comics. He doesn't look like a dude anymore. He's just like a blobby man, right?
Yeah, and he's constantly turning into character like other characters that kind of wink and nod at the audience in a fun way.
Good.
Like he turns into Lady Deathstrike once and it threw me off because I'm like, what is Lady Deathstrike's here? No.
No, it's Morph. Okay.
And like Psylocke and stuff. It's pretty cool.
Nice. Nice. This one truly is for you, Morph.
Yeah. The fight scenes are rad.
Mm-hmm.
There's one with Cyclops where he's like using his optic blast to push himself around during the
fight.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Which is
cool.
Yeah. And people are like going, what do you mean he could do that? Cyclops has always had concussive beams.
Yeah.
They're not heat vision.
It's not heat vision. It's a
punch laser.
Yeah.
He has a punch laser from his eyes. That's what it is. But yeah.
And then there's another one where they're fighting in the desert and Storm is shooting lightning around, turning the desert to glass. And it's so cool.
Nice. And it's Mohawk Storm, right?
Yes.
Yes.
And the animation actually looks good. Like you can tell it's like the same kind of like CG that like, What If uses.
Oh, okay.
But the characters actually have like colorful and fun designs and are animated in a way that hides it a lot better.
Okay, good.
Than What If, because What If is a good show, but the animation is so boring.
It kind of lets it down a little bit.
Yeah, it doesn't make use of the fact that it is animated.
Right.
It's just so grounded and boring that
they're using it as a cost cutting instead of a...
Yeah, instead of
playing with the medium.
Yeah, instead of using the strengths of the medium to tell a better story, they're just puppeting the actors cheaply.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad it's good. I am looking forward to sitting down and
that's why I won't get into the plot in depth any.
Yeah.
Well, I mean it's
X-Men, so I'm imagining some people don't like the X-Men despite them doing good things.
Yeah.
If I'm remembering right, from the end of the fifth season, Professor X is either dead or has been taken to space.
He's
dead?
As far as we know right now, he's dead.
Because I think...
He's been dead, actually.
Okay, because I think this is... I don't believe this is a spoiler because it's in the final episode of a show that was on 30 years ago.
Yeah.
But I believe the X-Men thought he was dead, but Lilandra of the Shi'ar Empire actually took him... to space to get him space healed. So Professor X might show back up at some point. I wouldn't be surprised anyway.
Yeah.
Or if they just retcon it and say, no, he actually died. That would be fine as well.
I mean, as far as we know from the very start of the first episode, he was assassinated by, I forget the guy's name. Is it Trask? No, it's not Trask.
Trask is the guy who made the Sentinels.
Yeah. And he's in that first episode.
Yeah.
But he was assassinated by some jerk.
Okay, gotcha. Probably someone from the Mankind Liberation Front or something like that. Friends of Humanity, that's the other one. Graydon Creed.
That might be it.
Sabretooth's, in the show's continuity, Sabretooth's human son who hates mutants. And they just made it Sabretooth's son because they got the same voice actor to do it twice. Yeah.
Hey, if Sabretooth was your dad too, you probably wouldn't have a good.
I wouldn't care for
mutants.
Mutants, if I had a evil wolf man to be my dad, I guess. I don't know. So the other thing that I tried watching again, this is going to be the shortest of check 'em outs. I got about 5 minutes into this documentary that everyone's been talking about.
Oh, the Nickelodeon one.
The Nickelodeon one. Quiet Onset, The Dark Side of Children's Television. I got about 5 minutes into it while at work and said, I need to devote actual time to this.
I was thinking about putting this on when I get home.
It's not going to be a good watch. It's not going to be a fun watch, but I've seen some really interesting things come out from it. It sounds like, and I mean, kind of knew some of this stuff was kind of awful to begin with, because the guy who was in charge of the live action Nickelodeon's,
Dan Schneider
was an alleged creep. And because I haven't continued to watch, I haven't watched the show yet and whatnot, I still have to say alleged, even though it seems,
pretty much
a done deal, but technically legally alleged. Yeah. So I am interested in watching it.
Me too.
But I'll probably
watch it when I get home.
Yeah. It's like 4 episodes long, I think. And it's also kind of telling, I guess, who they end up interviewing. Because there are some that are kind of left out of the interview process.
The only thing that gives me pause about it is that it's a Discovery documentary, and they're
usually sensationalist, a little
and crappy. But like
on the flip side, this Dan Schneider guy ruined Amanda Bynes. He ruined a lot of people's lives.
Yeah, allegedly.
Allegedly,
but yeah.
Allegedly. Also, weird about feet stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, there's tweets to back that one up.
There's tweets to back that one up, but also, do you remember when the Nickelodeon logo was a big orange foot for a while?
Yeah.
Apparently that was him.
Of course.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, we'll probably come back with more.
We will talk more about that next week, or in our next episode.
And I want to say real quick, since we mentioned it up top, the new Stardew Valley update came out.
Oh, yeah, yes.
And it's very, very good.
I am probably going to start that here this evening a little bit.
It's been a long time since I've played it, so it's kind of hard for me to parse exactly what is different and what's not. I know the missions the quests you get in town from the notice board.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes some of them will give you a little ticket.
Oh.
And you can take the little ticket to the mayor's house, and he's got a little gift machine in there.
Oh, nice.
And you get a little prize.
Okay, cool.
And I like that.
Yeah, I've watched a couple of videos of people being like, hey, what's new? What's this? Not that I want spoilers, but just because I want to be able to go and say, same situation. It's been a while since I've played it. I want to go and go, okay, that is old, that is new, what extra stuff? But it's really interesting.
Such a good game.
Yeah. So Stardew Valley is a city and farming sim kind of situation, or farm life,
like a rural life simulator. But also, it's
very charming.
Yeah,
it's very charming. It's very fun. It's not realistic in any way, because there's like monsters and there's like dungeons to fight in and stuff like that. But there's also can just grow your crops.
Yeah, a lot of
sell
time
your crops
management.
Get to become friends with everybody in town, and you know.
Yeah, it's a great time waster, and it's one of those games where you get caught in its loop so much that it's very difficult.
It has
to
a
quit.
Very satisfying loop. Yeah,
yeah, like you just keep going. Well, one more day, because if I do this, then that'll be done, and then I can do that. Like,
and the next thing you know, 4 hours have gone by.
Yeah.
Yeah, for real world hours.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to it. I've been waiting for this drop for quite a while, so that's cool.
Other than that, I've been playing around with the Tomb Raider remasters that came out here recently.
Okay.
They're very good, with the caveat that you like the original Tomb Raiders because they're barely different.
Okay.
Like, the graphics are up-res and the textures look nicer, and Lara Croft doesn't have cone boobs anymore.
0 out of 10.
But you can push the start button at any time and it converts back to exactly how the original game looked.
10 out of 10.
Which I love remasters that do that.
Yeah, so you can flip back and forth.
Yeah, there's a lot of times where you'll see something and you'll be like, I wonder what that looked like originally. And now you can just switch back and see, like, it was a goofy sprite.
For some reason, and I'm probably wrong, but didn't the Crash Bandicoot remasters do that as well?
No, it didn't, and I wish they did.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gotcha. Well, that's cool. That's cool that it's good.
Yeah, but if you didn't like Tomb Raider before, you're not gonna like, this isn't going to do anything to change your mind, because it still very much plays exactly the same.
Sure.
it offers modern controls, but I found them to be not good. Because
especially if you're used to the original controls,
yeah,
you know.
Well, there's a lot of precise movement and platforming in Tomb Raider that the modern controls don't let you do quite as well.
I see.
Because the original controls are tank controls. Like, you got to turn around and move little bits at a time to line up jumps. The modern controls don't give you the same, like...
Precision. And stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I tried them once inside the little tutorial, Croft Manor tutorial, and I was like, this doesn't work. And I haven't turned them back on, and it's been fine.
Okay, cool. Another thing I've been doing, I've been watching a lot of the old Dropout and College Humor branded shows. I don't know if I've talked about this in previous weeks or not. I honestly cannot remember.
I think so.
I might have mentioned them, but I've been digging a little deeper into it, and they're fun. They're just good, kind of cozy, kind of fun shows. So I've been watching three different shows from their network. One of them is called Actually. It's actually, I think, might be my favorite one of the bunch.
We definitely talked about that one.
That's the game show where they do a quote, they do a statement, but one thing is slightly wrong. I've thought about cribbing that for an episode coming up for pitting you and Josh against each other.
Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah, when we don't have a lot of news, I might do something like that.
We should do more games.
I think so too.
On this show.
I agree. But speaking of games, the second one I've been watching is called Game Changer. It's hosted by the guy who owns Dropout.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's Sam Reich. Sam Reich is the guy.
The whole thing.
He is the managing CEO of Dropout. He actually bought the brand from College Humor when they let everybody go. And the whole conceit of Game Changer is it's a game show where the rules are different every single episode. So you have one episode where, and all the contestants are, or most of the contestants are people in the industry. A lot of times it's folks who actually are comedians that do stand up, do improv for the Dropout Network. So it's a lot. So you get a lot of the same people over and over, but that's fun that you get to see their personalities and stuff.
Yeah.
So like one episode, he'll trick them into wearing, say, for example, heart monitors. And the goal is don't go 20 beats per minute above your resting heart rate. And for 30 minutes, he is doing all these weird tricks to try to trick them to get their heart rate up. And then the next episode could be Sam Says, where they play a giant game of Simon Says, but they are extremely tricky. Like at one point, he gets through the entire episode and the three contestants, three comedians, they seem kind of beaten down. He's like, you know what? The show's over. Last thing Sam Says, go to the parking lot. They go out there. There's a party bus. He's bought a party bus for them to go party on. And he's treating it as though the show's over. This is the end. This is it. So they get back to the studio after this party bus. And he goes, oh, by the way, you did this, this, and this while on the bus. Didn't say Sam Says. You lose X amount of points. Because he's been videotaping them on the party bus. Like one of the ones was like, stop what you're doing. When someone says freeze while on the party bus, someone is going, is it cold in here? I'm freezing. Is it really? They did like two or three times. So they got points deducted for that. And you just see the soul leave these three stand-up comedians. It's very cool. And the third one I've been watching is, it's actually an older one that was done. It's a precursor to Drawfee. Believe it or not.
Cartoon Hell.
Yeah. Cartoon Hell with Nathan Yaffe and Caldwell Tanner, I think. The two guys that originally created the Drawfee, which is a big YouTube thing but now.
They started it after they got axed from College Humor.
So the way it works, they were, if I'm remembering right, they were artists that did meme drawings for College Humor. That then started streaming their morning warm-ups and called it your morning cup of Drawfee instead of morning cup of coffee. Drawfee kind of kept going and going. And then when College Humor fired everyone, Drawfee went and started their own thing And then the Dropout folks did their own thing. So it kind of split there.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that. And they were both equally, you know, large stuff. But no, it's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun. I'm enjoying it quite a bit.
Cool.
Yeah. So, all right, let's take a break. And then we will talk about some cool stuff.
Long play promo, take 23.
Hi, I'm Greg Dunham. Sam, what is my motivation for this spot?
Well, this is a promo for your show, Long Play. You want to invite listeners to tune in every Friday evening at 11 and Saturday afternoon at 3. You want to remind everyone that you play full albums front to back right here on 104.7 WZMO.
Got it. So this is an informational tutorial.
Sure. Long Play promo, take 24.
Hi, I'm Craig Durgan.
Cut. You know, I think we got it.
We have returned from sabbatical to talk on some news topics.
Excellent work.
We do English good.
We do English so good. It's funny because off mic we were talking about, I've been going through and listening back and editing a bunch of old episodes for a little project I'm working on, and I say the same words every week. Seriously, go back and listen to some of the episodes of the podcast. How many times does Sam say, "Hey folks, we're back from the break, let's get into some news," every single week?
Hey, it works,
you know. I guess it works. if it works,
don't fix what isn't broken.
Exactly. I suppose. So yeah, let's get into some things. What is the first thing we're going to be talking about here this afternoon?
Well, there's a little movie about a ghost man and this girl he hangs out with, and his name,
tell me more.
His name is Beetlejuice.
Hey buddy.
Oh, that was the third time.
Yeah, it's the third time.
He's here.
Here we are.
Beetlejuice is here.
Here we are. I'm back in the theaters.
For your first sequel.
That's right.
We're just going to interview Beetlejuice here, I guess.
I guess we are. Going to lean heavy into this.
So what was it like being back in front of the camera for the first time in 30 years?
Sweaty.
So, yeah. So we only got one line in this trailer.
It's not my best. That's what I'll say.
I thought it was pretty funny. You got a laugh out of me.
I worked with the editing house for this trailer, but they didn't do a good job with it. It didn't look like.
No, I think it falls into a lot of tropes that a lot of modern day trailers do.
I have a lot of history with editing videos. You know, I in my off time, I've been working on my YouTube.
Oh.
Oh yeah. You know.
Like and subscribe, Bell.
Like and subscribe, baby.
All right, now that bit's dead. Bit's over.
Yep, that wasn't going anywhere.
That was going nowhere. We are not improv. No, but there is a trailer for the Beetlejuice movie, Beetlejuice 2, or I guess it's being called Beetlejuice.
Yes, which is pretty clever.
Which
I like
makes
that
me
a lot.
Super hope that they do a third one so that it's called Beetlejuice.
Oh, you did it again.
Oh, no.
Let's do bad
back.
Let's
no.
do bad improv
okay,
for
let's
another
Let's do another bad improv
minutes.
For a minute. Yeah. My tight five.
We should take
it. My Beetlejuice themed tight five.
We should all take an improv class someday.
I think so. Yes, actually. Yeah, this trailer, it looks fine.
Yeah, it's not enough to
get anything from.
Yeah.
But it already, I hate it. I hate this trend with films, especially ones that are sequels to things that have been kind of been dead properties for a number of years.
You could argue Excuse that me. Beetlejuice was always a dead property.
Well, you could argue that. That's very true. Very good. I like that. But no, it's properties that do a trailer to try to show that it's mature and it's grown up and it's grown with you. They take a popular song or something, a song that was attributed to like to the first property, and they slow it down and play it in a minor key to make it sound menacing and sad.
Even the Mario Brothers movie did this.
Didn't need that. The Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Yeah.
And especially the Frozen Empire or whatever. The new one.
Which apparently sucks on ice, I think.
Really?
Heard.
Oh, that's yeah. a shame. Well, you know.
It's got a hot 45 on Rotten Tomatoes, which is not great.
Ooh, that's rough. That's rough.
I saw a tweet from somebody on Twitter. I can't remember who it was. Saying they saw their neighbors come home from seeing it, and they had dressed up like Ghostbusters to go. Clearly mm-hmm. huge fans.
Yeah.
And they asked, well, how was the movie? And both of them responded in unison, terrible.
You know, it's almost like the first Ghostbusters movies was lightning in a bottle that couldn't be replicated.
Yeah, yeah.
It's almost like it was a perfect storm that they shouldn't have done more with.
Yeah. It's almost like it's really hard to make a good Ghostbusters movie, and they've only succeeded in doing it one time.
Yeah, right. But anyway, let's talk about this Beetlejuice sequel 30 years later. Anyway, yeah, they use a slowed down minor key version of
Deo, which is really sucks.
It sucks. The things that I am happy to see, I'm happy to see that they're still in the original house. I yeah. like that there is something to do with the little model town, because that was such a big part of the original film. It makes me wonder.
Nice effing model.
Yeah, yeah. It makes me wonder if Alec Baldwin and Gina Davis are going to show up for this.
I don't know, because Alec Baldwin has not been having the best time of it
lately.
Recently.
No, he hasn't. But if you go back and watch Beetlejuice himself is a fairly minor part of the film. It's really about Alec Baldwin and Gina Davis being two yuppie ghosts who just want people to not be in their house.
Yeah.
Dealing with bad roommates, essentially. So it makes me wonder about that. I'm glad that they have dealt with the gaping hole that was Jeffrey Jones.
Yeah.
In the best way possible. And by that, I mean they've killed his character off.
Which in this franchise almost doesn't mean a whole lot.
It doesn't mean a
but
whole
he's
lot,
not going to show up.
Yeah. No, I think he went to super hell.
Yeah.
The one where the ghost can't come back.
Double hell. There's no waiting room there.
Yeah. No. I sincerely hope this movie starts with Beetlejuice still sitting in the waiting room, finally getting his number called.
Oh, it will.
I hope that is the joke.
When I first heard it was Jenna Ortega being in it, I was like, oh, that's perfect. But now it feels like it's almost on the note.
It's
on
a little
the nose.
Too on the nose. It would almost be more interesting if Lydia Dietz's daughter is either a normie or swings back the other direction and is like her weird avant-garde art parents.
Yeah.
So the other side is having to deal with.
Yeah, instead of it just being small
Lydia
Dietz.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, Winona looks exactly the same. Like, she
really
has
does.
The same hair.
Uh-huh.
She's never changed her hair in 30 years.
Nope.
It wasn't a phase.
It's clearly not. Clearly not.
Beetlejuice looks great.
He does.
He looks
He's got the
looks,
voice.
Yeah.
It sounds great, looks great.
The one line in the trailer, the juice is loose, got a laugh
that
out of me.
That was pretty good. I was happy to read that Tim Burton is doing mostly as much practical effects and stop motion as possible.
Oh, good.
He actually said in an interview that a movie like this would not benefit from CG. It needs to be done. It needs to be handmade in order for it to
be. And that's true. That's a lot. A lot of the character of the original movie comes from that stuff. And
absolutely.
It needs to be that way.
Absolutely. And I'm also a little concerned that Tim Burton, I don't know if he still has, the juice, pardon the pun, but the last couple of films that he's made have not been great.
He is not the, like, rebel he once was. I think studios can count on him to do what they want now instead of being
he's more of a jobber than he is
he used to be.
Now that's not to say that he can't put his own flair on it every now and then again he wants to. It's almost kind of like Sam Raimi. I love Sam Raimi's stuff, but from years of working in the system, yeah, he puts his snap zooms and stuff into it, but
Tim Burton doesn't have the edge he once did, I guess.
That's a good way of putting it. Yeah. So we'll see how it goes. Beetlejuice It's not like it was my favorite movie growing up, but it was definitely part of the growing up process. I did enjoy it quite a bit.
I would say it is one of my more favorite movies of all time.
Mm, okay, it's up there.
It's top 10 at
least. Gotcha. Okay. See, I wouldn't go top 10. I would maybe go top 25 for me, but it would not. Maybe top 50, but like, I don't think it reaches my top 10. But no, that makes.
I mean, it's very up my alley.
It is. That is true. That's a good point. Yeah. I always liked Beetlejuice way more than Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah. Yeah, between the two, Beetlejuice is the better movie. Yeah. But they're both great movies.
Both
I love
movies.
Edward Scissorhands, too.
Yeah. Yep.
I wouldn't put Edward Scissorhands in my top 10.
Right. Yeah, same here. All right, so there were some trailers that we could talk about. First one was the Furiosa Mad Max Cinematic Universe prequel.
That looks great. It looks
really
so cool.
It really does. It really does.
It makes me want to watch Fury Road again.
It does. Yeah, same here. I think it's really interesting that they're expanding out beyond the Mad Max.
Yeah. Mad Max sans Mad Max.
Yeah. And if you watch some of the old Mad Max movies, he's barely the main character. He's just a guy that kind of drifts in.
Into other people's stories.
So it makes sense that they can tell a movie completely devoid of Mad Max about Furiosa. I think it looks great.
And she was the most interesting part of Fury Road, so it makes sense for them to do a spinoff.
Yep. Everyone looks like they're having fun. Chris Hemsworth looks like he's having a blast.
Yeah, he looks like he's loving it just in the trailer alone. Mm-hmm. And he looks like he's doing a great job, too.
That, too.
Like,
yeah. We were talking before when we were watching the trailer a little bit ago. You mentioned that not sure if Anya Taylor-Joy can do this kind of acting.
Yeah, I don't think we've seen her in like a purely action movie like this.
Yeah.
I don't doubt that she could do it.
Oh, she's
a great actress.
She's a great actress, but yeah, it's definitely something different for her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it'll
be exciting to see how that turns out.
Yep. Yeah. I'm in. I'm for it.
Cause I like Anya Taylor-Joy. I think she's a great actress.
I do too.
A lot of the things she's done.
I do too. I liked her in, I actually liked her Princess Peach. She was fine as Princess Peach. Was that The Guest or The Menu or something like that?
Oh, yeah, she was good in that.
She was good in The Menu. I liked her in The Vavitch.
Yeah, I always forget that was her in The Vavitch.
Yeah,
that's a great movie.
It's like her first film, yeah. The one about chess.
Yeah, I love Queen's Gambit. That was a great show.
Well. Yeah, yeah.
God, now I'm blanking on what it was. Oh, Last Night in Soho.
Oh, yeah.
That was a great movie.
I haven't
movie.
Watched that one.
I had heard that it was not good. And I had believed it because I didn't like Edgar Wright's movie before that Baby Driver.
Oh yeah,
didn't care for Baby Driver.
Baby Driver was just
so
okay.
I went into Last Night in Soho thinking like I'm probably not gonna like this.
Mm-hmm.
Actually loved it. Thought it was great.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
a good
awesome.
Story.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I haven't watched that one. I do know what it's about, but I haven't watched it. But well, awesome, awesome. Were there other trailers? I'm trying to think.
There was a Suicide Squad anime.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Suicide Squad Isekai.
Yeah, the one where it's basically the DC Suicide Squad characters go to some medieval fantasy anime land and shoot a bunch of werewolves.
Yeah, or something. I don't know.
Something.
It looks fun enough.
It looks stylish. It looks interesting.
You know, I never watched any of the other DC, like Batman Ninja.
Oh, I never did either.
There's a couple of DC anime-inspired ones. I think there's a Catwoman one, too.
I think there is, yeah. No, I haven't watched them either, but I don't know. This one looks fine.
Yeah, and I mean, when it shows up on HBO Max, I might watch this.
Sure, why not?
Enough.
Yeah.
It's got Peacemaker in it. Why not?
Well, yeah, it is wild to me. I was just thinking about this the other day. It is wild to me how much of a breakout star Peacemaker the character has become. He shows up in multiple comics now. He has his own comic now. He's in almost every DC property. Like, he's right there front and center. And this is a character that was largely ignored for
and wears like a toilet seat thing on his head.
Yeah, he was a joke. They picked him because he was the throwaway character that no one would ever do anything with, and now he's one of the most. He's in Mortal Kombat for crying out loud, and he's great in Mortal Kombat.
It's a good fit.
Yeah, yeah.
Of all the characters that could show up in Mortal Kombat, there's not a much better fit than Peacemaker.
It's great. It's really great. So it kind of wild to me that, yeah. you know.
And the end theme to the anime is done by a VTuber.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
One of the Hololive girls, Mori Calliope, the rapping Reaper one.
Okay, sure.
Which, I mean, it sounds like a good end theme. I don't know. Some of her music is good.
I'm not familiar enough with her music to really. But I mean, that last theme, it was interesting.
It fit. Yeah. Her label is with Warner Brothers, so that's how that happened.
That makes sense. Sure. Let's see. What else do we have? Oh, speaking of Warner Brothers, they are working on another animated Cat in the Hat movie, which may or may not exist.
Maybe they'll make the whole movie and then write it off on their taxes. Nobody knows.
Who knows at
but,
this point?
But Bill Hader is going to voice the cat, he's a good voice actor.
If they let him improv.
Yeah. He'd probably be a better Cat in the Hat than Mike Myers was.
Mike Myers? Yeah, that was a inspired choice.
Yeah.
Putting it nicely. Yeah, you know, I always have room for more Seuss stuff.
Yeah, I feel like there's always some form of Cat in the Hat, something or other in the works.
And I mean, it is the one, that and the Grinch are the two that they could really do. I know they've done a Horton Hears the Who
and the Lorax.
They've done a Lorax, but like you can't do a full film about Green Eggs and Ham.
No. They did a Netflix series, but I don't know. I didn't watch it.
Yeah, like you can't do Redfish, One Fish, Two Fish, Redfish, Blue Fish.
Oh no, that's not even a narrative.
No, it's not.
Can't do Hop on Pop.
Can't do Hop on Pop. The Star-Bellied Sneetches.
Maybe they could make something out of that,
but not really. So Cat in the Hat's really kind of it. Sure. Again, it's Warner Brothers, and it's animation, and it's for kids, so there's a good chance it's going to get made and then shelved and never released.
Oh, speaking of Warner Brothers, I should have brought this up during the Check It Outs. I watched Wonka.
Oh!
And it was...
Why?
Actually, it wasn't bad.
That's what I keep hearing. It's okay.
Like, sure, it was like... super safe and corporate and
unnecessary.
Like, unnecessary and like full of the most forced whimsy you've ever seen.
Sure.
But like it was still fun and inoffensive and entertaining. Like I can't say I was not entertained for the full 2 hours or whatever.
Was Timothy Chalamet able to be whimsical? Because he seems like a very normal... He seems very normy.
Yeah, he was fine.
He was fine. Okay.
It wasn't a groundbreaking performance, but
sure.
it was good enough.
Okay. Sometimes good enough is just fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll take it.
The songs were good enough.
Sure.
If you watch Wonka, you will have an absolutely okay time.
We'll take it.
I didn't feel like I had wasted 2 hours of my life. Also, it's a major plot point that he cannot read.
Oh, really?
Willy Wonka is illiterate at the beginning of this film.
Interesting.
I thought that was a weird choice.
It's a weird choice. Yeah, not one I would have initially gone with, but, you know.
He was busy studying chocolate. He didn't learn how to read.
Fair enough. All right, we got some other things here. Let's talk about some negative stuff. Do you want to talk about Kotaku or Late Night with the Devil?
Well... Late Night with the Devil will be a quick one. I think I was going to hit that.
Yeah, so there is a independently made horror movie that's coming out. It actually has gotten pretty rave reviews for the people who have seen it, starring David Dalmachian. He was Spot. Or not the Spot. He was...
No, that was Schwartzman.
That was Schwartzman. I'm talking about in Suicide Squad. He was Polka Dot Man.
Yeah, Polka Dot Man.
Polka Dot Man. He's done some other stuff.
One of the standout characters of that movie.
He's a good actor. Yeah, absolutely. And he's so this movie is basically set in the 1970s on a live talk show where a guy basically is like debunking mystical stuff, and an actual possessed person is invited onto the show, and horror movie things happen.
Which is a great premise.
It's a great premise. And from the way it looks, the way it was filmed, they're using old film grain. They're using old techniques, 16 millimeter camera, that sort of thing. So it looks or at least they're mocking the 16 millimeter camera, that sort of thing. Looks really good. Unfortunately, as it was revealed, the producers decided to cut a few corners by making use of AI generated art.
The real devil in our times.
It super is, yeah. So they initially it was just like, well, it's this three like interstitial title cards that go up before commercial break. As it turns out, there is also quite a bit of set dressing that has also been AI generated.
That stinks. Hire a real artist
to do your stuff. And the argument that the producers and the actor Dalmakian has made online is that this movie was filmed pre-COVID. It's been sitting on a shelf for years. It was before AI was turned into... People made the full turn.
It's probably also before they knew all of the art was basically being stolen.
Stolen, yeah.
Because that's the way the AI stuff works. They have a big bank of art that they took off the internet without asking anyone.
Yeah.
And then they generate pictures from that.
Right.
So yeah. It's derivative of other people's art.
Everything that is AI generated is derivative of
assuming that the model they used is using other people's art without permission, mm-hmm. which 99.9% of it they do.
Right. So, you know, my rebuttal of that argument is if it's been sitting on a shelf, you can go back in and edit it,
especially if they're title cards.
It's not going to change, you know, it's not going to change anything. You just go back in. It's a digital file. You just go in, you snip it, you put a new thing in, and you go. That's all you got to do. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with this film, because there's a lot of people online who scream about how much they hate AI art. And I tend to agree with them.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of AI art being used in any kind of monetarily...
I am 100% against it unless you've trained the model
on your own art.
Property and art, then maybe that's okay. But even then, you're going to generate
junk,
soulless junk. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the only way to get ethically sourced AI art.
But, yeah. But even then, your output is still not going to be
good. It's not going to be as good as actually just doing art.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see how many people... Now that we have, it's a good movie that has done this bad thing. Are people going to look past it and go see the movie because it's a good movie? Or are they going to boycott it and have a good movie flounder because they did a bad thing? I'm curious to see what the outcome is going to be.
See, I would have been very interested in this before this came out, but now I'm not.
I was interested in it, and I'm not a horror movie guy. I don't, you know, it's not my scene, but
this
it sounds
absolutely like a horror movie I would have been excited to see, but not now.
Yeah.
If I watch it, it will be when it's on a streaming service where it's already been done and paid for.
Yes. Yes. It's going to be well past its collecting of metrics. Yeah. Same here. If I do end up watching it, yeah, it's a shame. It's a shame because it does look like a really good movie.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Speaking of movies.
Yes.
Of questionable quality.
Yes.
Apparently, Margot Robbie is producing or is attached to a film based on the video game The Sims. The virtual dollhouse.
That seems like a derivative of Barbie.
Yeah, I don't see how you could make this movie in any way and not have it aping the same themes, general themes and concepts of the Barbie movie.
Unless they do what people initially thought the Barbie movie was going to be about, where it was a vapid nothing about nothing.
Yeah.
If it has no message. Because if you do a Sims movie and you want it to have a message, it's going to be the same message as the Barbie movie, essentially.
And it's going to be super meta.
Yeah.
Like the Barbie movie.
Like the Barbie movie. Unless they play it completely straight, where you just have the actors wandering around a set and...
Will they speak in Simlish in this movie?
Oh,
will
man.
It be an entirely Simlish film?
I imagine it's going to be English speaking, but any music is going to be done in Simlish. That's my guess.
I think they should at least start it in Simlish and then have some sort of
translator or,
yeah, or device, some yeah. sort of narrative device to where we, the audience, then get to hear it in English.
Yeah.
Even then, though, if they wanted to be really brave, they would do the whole movie in Simlish.
Subtitled. Yeah.
Or even just pictograms above their
Oh, the that would be kind heads. Of fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Go fool the artist silent movie, but pictographs.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool.
They won't do it.
No,
that's
no,
way
no, no.
too out there for them yeah. to even touch.
Yeah.
But that would be like the most interesting way to do it, I would think.
Yeah. I'm not totally ready to write this off yet, because again, when we heard that they were going to do a Lego movie, people were going, Lego movie, there's no plot to that. And it's a pretty good movie. And Lego yeah. movie's a good movie.
There would be
Barbie movie, there's no plot to it. Well, as it turns out, yeah, there is.
There would be no Barbie movie if it weren't for the Lego movie.
Oh, 100%.
And they're both great films.
Yes. So I'm not ready to write this off yet. However,
it seems a little on the nose right after Barbie.
Yeah.
And like,
I agreed.
I hope they come up with something, because, I mean, Margot Robbie usually does some pretty great work.
Yeah. Although she's only producing. I don't think she's starring in this.
Oh, well, good.
So I think it's, and it might just be that her production company is giving them money and she has no involvement. I don't yeah. know. But
I love
we'll
The Sims. I think that's one of the better video games that's ever existed.
Oh, yeah,
existed.
I love The yeah. Sims. Yeah, I've spent many, many hours killing time in The Sims. There's got to be a scene where someone gets in a pool and then the ladder
disappears. Yeah, or yeah. somebody gets shut in a room with no windows
and
or
a bunch
doors.
Of fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there has to be a part where a house burns down
mm-hmm.
because somebody was cooking
an egg too long.
Yeah.
And then everything bursts into flame in like squared blocks.
Oh, they got to play the scary, like, your house is being robbed music, and then the robber in stripes and the domino mask
yep.
comes out.
Oh, for sure. Will Wright show up in
he should.
The Sims movie?
He's a recognizable dude.
He is recognizable enough.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Why not?
Well, I mean, if it gets like as meta as the Barbie movie, he definitely will.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, last thing, and we can't talk about it for long because we're running short on time, but I mentioned the Kotaku thing briefly earlier, so we should probably swing back to it.
Yeah.
What's going on over there?
Famous video games blog site Kotaku, which is one I've gone to for years.
We've pulled a lot of our news articles. It's one of the main ones that we look at every week yeah. to pull stuff for the show.
Recently, the editor-in-chief, and they've gone through a lot of shakeups in the editing
they have.
Department lately, but the editor-in-chief resigned because somebody high up at their parent company that I forget what it's called
mm-hmm.
told them, less news, more guides. You guys have to write 50 guides, like video game guides, a week now, which is ridiculous.
That's
not what the site was about beforehand.
No, and I understand the reasoning reasoning behind it, because guides get a lot of SEO traction, a lot of people searching online. How do I do a thing? Well, a guide will pop up.
And yeah, and first, for a minute, I was like, do people actually do that? They don't
just
go straight to GameFAQs, but then I realized I do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't go to Kotaku. I never click on Kotaku's guides because they're usually trash.
They usually don't show up in SEO for
No,
anyway.
Not really. Yeah. But it's just kind of a shame that they're deciding to get rid of actual journalism in exchange for fluff that, let's be honest, an AI can and probably at some point will write.
Well, that amount of work is impossible, and for it to also be accurate,
it's impossible.
Not going to happen. And it doesn't.
And those guides are going to overlap. Yeah. It's going to be the same thing over and over again.
And the thing is, it doesn't matter if it's accurate as long as it gets the click, too.
That sucks.
Yeah. It's a real shame to see what used to be such a prominent outlet for video game news be turned into a guide mill.
It's a shame. And there's a lot of websites that are starting to go, the news websites that are going the way of the dinosaur. They're, you know, years ago, Comics Alliance, which was basically this, but for comic books, before it was shut down completely, they were going less news articles, more, hey, here's a bunch of covers.
Oh, okay.
Variant covers. Here's an entire article about variant covers. for a comic that's coming out 6 months down the road.
Wow.
Because that is, you know,
people want to see those covers.
Gets into Google image search, and that's a click. And that's a shame.
Yeah.
That's
the,
a shame.
The internet is turning into just an SEO mill.
And it sucks.
Where, nothing will be written by a person, and all of your news will come out of a corporate talking head. Every news will come out of some form of Nintendo Direct.
It's
eat it straight from the company or not. Don't get
or not
it at all.
And that's a shame. That's a shame. All right, well, let's go ahead and end things for now.
On that note.
On that happy, joyous note.
Get your news from Nerd Overload or don't get it at all.
Don't tell them that because they won't get it at all. You have been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com as well as social media links, Facebook, Twitch, Instagram, Patreon. The YouTube is coming back. It's not up there yet. I'm working on it. The YouTube is coming back, and it will have actual content on it, believe it or not.
You can send us an email at staff@nerdoverload.com. You can leave us a message on the Nerd Overload hotline. The number for that's 419-561-5556. You can even send a text message if you don't want to leave a voice message.
That's great. We'll take texts.
You have to do more than just say hello, though, because I did get one of those the other day.
That just said hello. Yeah. Okay. Interesting. All right. You can find the show on different podcast catchers, the main ones, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, as long as it still exists. It's actually shutting down here pretty soon, so I'm going to have to change my spiels pretty soon. Finally, I want to thank Parker for helping us out with finding news for the show and David Pencil for the intro and outro. So again, thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
This one's for you, Morph.